Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, how's everybody doing tonight? This is Brother Baba Wetafa. We're going to play a little bit of music by Whitney Houston, then we're going to come back and get to the very meaning of what our program is tonight. All right, I'm going to play a little Whitney, then I'll get back with y'all. And Blog Talk Radio, People Power Radio for the people. We're going to give you what you're in store, what you come here for. All right, all right. Sounds of Whitney Houston. I believe the children are future.
Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children my need a lonely place to be, and so I learned to depend on me. I delight in love, the love, never to walk in anyone's shadow. If I fail, if I
All right, everybody. People Power Radio. This is your guy, your host with the most, Baba Wetapa, Father of Many Nations. We're getting ready to start this show. As always, my late beautiful sister, Whitney Houston, always does something for me when I hear her talking about our future is in our children, and we should all understand that because this is very real. My co-host tonight has also joined us, the fabulous, the talented, and wonderful Sister Mayette. I call her Sister Mayette. Once again, I don't have to worry about it because I'm long distance. I can say what I want, basically. But then again, I got to be careful because I'll see her one of these times, so I better mind myself. All praise due to God, y'all. We always on this show, we try to have fun. We try to let people know that this is your show. We want you to know that it's all about you. Tonight we're going to be talking about, should private citizens bear arms? In reality, the Fred Hampton Gun Club thinks that that is a great idea. And tonight, Sister Mayette, who is, again, the chairman, right here, chairwoman of the Fred Hampton Gun Club right here in Oklahoma City, she's going to be giving her thoughts and ideas on that as well. And we're definitely going to be looking forward to her saying something on that pretty soon. But before we go there, let's acknowledge and let's talk a little bit about Sister Mayette. What's going on? Talk to me. What happened? Why are you getting in the Fred Hampton Gun Club? What's going on with that?
Ashe. Good evening or good night to everybody that's on the line. I am the chairwoman for Hampton Gun Club, Oklahoma City, pretty much all of Oklahoma. So,
all right.
What really made me consider joining the Fred Hampton Gun Club was the fact that we're not coming from just one angle racism, oppression of our people. It's really an all-around organization that truly cares about the people's well-being and also informing the people not only to bear arms but to also equip your mind and to be prepared for the climate out here for African-American people or African descent individuals here in the United States and pretty much globally. So that is drew me to the Fred Hampton Gun Club. There, we also have other organizations that are grassroots organizations that do the same thing, but Fred Hampton Gun Club was a family to me, and they really welcomed me in and really equipped me with the knowledge and the knowledge and other resources to do what I do at this moment. So it really, I would say it changed my life because it brought a highlight to the whole entire Black Nation movement into, you know, what we are planning to get to or where we're at now as far as the Black Nation.
Very, 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 you know, very unique language that you use there. And tonight, y'all, before we get off into the essential part of our broadcast tonight regarding whether private citizens should bear arms, again, let me give you a little bit of history on my beautiful brother, Fred Hampton. Again, I've been following him with the Black Panther since I was knee-high. Yeah, I actually had been into some of the bread baskets and some of the education programs they had in Oakland, California when I was just 5 years old myself. So it was very unique and actually older, but it was an experience when I first learned of him and how they were coming into the Black community, you know, raising us, teaching us education, giving us food that we didn't have to eat, giving us vaccines and medicines and things. I'm talking about free of charge. So these brothers here just wasn't just talking about it. And Fred Hampton was the chairman of the Chicago branch of the Black Panther Party. Again, when I say this brother was ahead of his time, y'all, I mean business. I'm not just saying that. I mean, hey, he was a threat to the government, and many believe right today that the federal government through the FBI killed my beautiful brother and my talented and wonderful, highly intelligent, remarkable Fred Hampton while he slept along with Mark Clark. I mean, they raided his home, come in with clear blazing saddles, knowing the intent. And as a matter of fact, there was conversation in the police ranks, well, he's in here, he's going to be a dead one. He's not going to be able to walk out of this one. I mean, you have people actually talking like that, the police civil servants who are supposed to be serving the people and serving the masses. But instead, they run in, gun down this brother while he was laying in bed with his pregnant wife and just slaughtered him. And he and Brother Mark Clark, it was a shootout. Several others got injured, but two of them died, Brother Mark Clark and my brother Fred Hampton. Let me tell you a little bit of history about Fred Hampton again. Fred Hampton was born on August 30th, 1948. And again, he died ruthlessly, so horribly and tragically on March 4, 1969. The brother was a profound activist. He was a performer. He was a caring person. And again, the chairman of the national chairman of the Black Panther Party in Chicago, the Chicago chapter. You know, Fred Hampton was a man. He was anti-government. He was anti-racism. He was anti-discrimination. Yes, he included, as the sister just talked about, more than just his own race. Anybody that was done wrong, I mean, he had the public society of people who were black, white, Hispanic, Chinese, Mexican. If you knew Fred Hampton, everybody knew you loved him. For the most part, why else would the federal government kill that man? Because he was a hands-on person. You know, therefore, he started an organization called the Rainbow Coalition. And what this was, it was just a founder. Well, y'all didn't hear me. Rainbow Coalition means a product, a social organization of everyone being a part of the makeup. It was multicultural with a political attachment to it, y'all. So we want y'all to understand who Fred Hampton is, to let y'all know when the sister starts talking here that she's not just picking up something about what she's heard or who was this guy or what was he about and did he love people, was he about his humanity. I'm telling y'all today, yes, he was. He also was a major influence on attacking the street gangs in his city as well. And so, again, the federal government, through the United States COINTELPRO, it's called the counterintelligence program, saw that this was a great thing that the Black Panthers were doing. And for the most part, again, Fred Hampton being up there in Chicago, he and Mark Clark were two essential figures that they had to get rid of because those brothers up there didn't take it. I mean, I left an S in front of it, so I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. And what they did, oh, my God, it was so frightening, y'all. I'm getting ready to let the sister in after I say these three more words. In December, Fred Hampton, they drugged him first. Is that something, y'all? Think about it. He was drugged where he couldn't get up. And when he heard it, when the raid and stuff was going on, his wife, she jumped up, and with the baby and the others started, you know, screaming and shouting, hey, what's going on, what's going on? But, again, he was shot in his sleep as he laid in the bed, shot in his head, in the chest, abdomen, and just murdered. I mean, it was pre-dawn raid in Chicago apartments. And, you know, the tactical squads, the county attorney general's office, the FBI, and other affiliate Chicago police departments were all in together on this isolated raid that went in and viciously slaughtered Brother Fred and Mark Clark. It wasn't by accident. So, again, I think it is an honor for me to be talking to Sister Mayette here today and being the chairperson of the Oklahoma chapter of the Fred Hampton Gun Club, because it was definitely named in honor of a great, great man. And let me tell y'all, they wanted to make sure that brother didn't get up because there were more than 90 gunshots throughout the park that was fired on them people. Y'all hear me? During that raid, they killed that brother. I wanted to make sure he didn't get up, you know. And then again, the family filed a lawsuit, which was really nothing. They filed a lawsuit for, and they won $1.85 million lawsuit, and they won it. But again, everybody believed that the federal government, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, was the lead active party in slaughtering under J. Edgar Hoover, one of the most profound, prolific brothers here in the United States. So again, take it from that, Sister Mayette. What is your ideas, concept of Fred Hampton? And before you go in, tell me about the Second Amendment. I'll get on the Second Amendment. I'll read a little bit more on it to kind of give you a blueprint about what we want to do. But tell me a little bit about Fred Hampton. What do you think about what I was saying about it?
Now, you know, I really do look up to a lot of different revolutionaries. And, of course, Fred Hampton is definitely one of them. I tried to embody his spirit because he was so driven to make change within his chapter and to really impact the people, not just saying I'm going to do something or saying, you know, oh, well, I think you should free yourself. I think we should. No, he was like boots on the ground. You know, we got to get this done. Nobody can do it for us, you know, but us. And he was determined to make change, and that right there posed a threat to the oppressors at that time and still are oppressors at this time. So his life, you know, his legacy, the things that – the moves that he made being in the position that he was in impacts us as revolutionaries and people. right now in this moment. So I try to embody his spirit because he was so driven to do so much for the people. And he wanted, you know, to not only help our people, but he had, you know, love for others that were willing to fight against, you know, the oppressors, which, you know, the poor, you know, poor white Americans, poor, you know, Asian American, anybody that that was oppressed by the system. He created, you know, the Rainbow Coalition to, you know, fight together. Why are we fighting each other? We are both we're both the undesirable in this community. We're both the undesirable to the rich white man, to the, you know, police department, on up throughout the government. We are the ones that they don't want. So why are we fighting each other? They're just sitting back and, you know, doing this, so why can't we come together for a common cause? But at the same time, we're still separate entities, but as individuals, but we are still working together to fight the common problem. You know what I mean? So it inspires me to really dig deep into our history, and that's one thing that I push, because it's a lot of wisdom that our ancestors, revolutionaries, left behind for us to pick up and keep going. They didn't plan for us to stop. They didn't plan for us to sit on the knowledge that they put out here, and the moves that they made that were televised and untelevised. You know what I mean? There's probably some individuals that were around Fred Hampton, that were around some of the great leaders and revolutionaries that we may not get to hear those stories out loud, but they still have those, you know what I mean? And just to continue his work and continue the work of the people is, you know, my heart's desire.
All right, sister, that was very great, great memory of a well-renowned, well-respected black man who left a legacy even through his son, Fred Hampton Jr., who's still making noise in Chicago as we speak. So I want to say this, y'all, those of you listening, thank you, Vivian, I pronounced it right. Thank you, Vivian, for tuning in from up there in New Orleans, Louisiana. You've been a constant guest on our show. We appreciate you so much, and hopefully we'll be able to give you a few words tonight as well. Thank you. But let me say anyway, y'all, the federal investigation of the Federal Bureau of Investigations, listen carefully, y'all. Fred Hampton's leadership was a direct threat to the United States of America, the United States federal government, okay? They feel that his communicative skills was a major threat among the young Black Panthers or would-be Black Panthers who would listen to his voice, all right? They kept close tabs on all his activities. You know, they were, every time he went to a store, you know, when he was at the house making love, you know, they had bugs on him. You know, when he was down the street playing with kids, pick up basketball games, they were harassing him, okay? Because he was making a difference, as the sister just told y'all. J. Edgar Hoover was determined to prevent a strong, cohesive black movement in the United States. So he didn't just harass the Black Panthers. He harassed the Black Nation of Islam. He harassed the United Slave, which is called United Slave Us program by Manana Karinga. He harassed other black churches, black organizations. The whole idea, y'all, was to keep a stranglehold on any black movement that was determined to establish its independence here in the United States of America. Now, a lot of people had a problem with the Black Panthers as well as the FBI and state city governments on every level, especially in Oakland and Chicago. They had a problem with the Black Panthers because they saw them as Marxist. Okay, well, Marxists, as we know, don't believe in God. They are people opposing the Democratic and Republican Party. Let's just keep that real. So naturally, this was going to be the threat to democracy in the United States and the federal government through J. Edgar Hoover, who was determined to make sure that, again, no black messiah arises from the ranks of the black leadership. Ashe. So it was because of that, y'all. Listen carefully. And I'm going to yield the floor. Listen carefully. He believed that the Black Panthers and some of the other, like the Young Patriots, Young Lords, and those people like that, which are obvious groups outside of the Black Panther, they were collectively coming together, and they had a racial coalition that was so profound and so relevant that they said, oh, hold it. Now, this man is powerful enough. We're not just fighting blacks now. We're going to have to fight the Asians, the Hispanics, and other minorities. If they collectively get that big, ain't no kind of way we can really fight that. So the whole idea was to prevent a militant group from having strength and power in the United States. What do you think about that, Mayor?
I'll say, you know, like I was saying earlier, you know, that is a major threat. It's like, okay, well, you know, he's not just doing this locally with just, you know, just us, you know, African-American descent,
no.
you know, people, whatever. They starting to get all the other ones that we don't want. You know what I mean? So, and I'm going to keep it 100. You know what I mean? If you have done, like, any research or seen any, like, true life stories or something like that, there is accounts of them speaking just as vulgar as I just, you know, was speaking or whatever.
Yes.
They talk that, you know, they don't say, well, we really don't want them. No, they call us everything in the book. And it doesn't matter if you are, you know, African-American, you can be Asian-American or whatever. So, like I said, in that instance, Fred Hampton became a huge threat. And everything that he stood for, because he said, you know what, why should we just have to do it? They, you know, y'all need to come on too. Like, why are we fighting each other? We're just playing into the hands of the oppressor. So why don't we, flip this on them to where now we are the ones that have the power, you know, and he really put the power back into the people's hands when he did that. You know, if this was the United States, quote unquote, and we're supposed to be united, then why aren't we coming together? You know, so America itself likes to, you know, put us against each other when we are all in their eyes equals, you know. So my personal opinion is about, you know, Fred Hampton, you know, he really went above and beyond for the people, instead of just saying, okay, well.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Hey, you know what? You're very beautifully on point, Sister Mayotte, again. Let me tell y'all, on the evening of December 3rd, one day, now listen carefully, one day before he was assassinated, he had taught a political education course at a local church in his community, listen carefully, and he brought a lot of Black Panthers and other would-be drive-byers and supporters who came and listened intently to what he was saying about the political, social, and economic aspect in which the lower-class citizens, like ourselves, were left out of the mainstream of the United States government as far as food, education, housing, medical procedures, so forth and so on, housing and the whole works, okay? So, as always, he would leave with his, you know, certain Panthers guarding him and taking him and escort him to the house because he already knew that the threat was real. Now, his last meal was at 12 o'clock that morning on December 4th when he was drugged by someone among them, and when the shooting was going on, he never knew what hit him. He never had a chance to wake up. He died in his sleep, never knowing that his wife was beside him, his unborn child, Fred Hampton Jr. He never knew it. He was sedated heavily, y'all. He drank it after dinner, went to bed, and never woke up. So I'm telling y'all, this was a cold-blooded, calculated assassination of a great Black warrior and king from our Kibu land. The lifeblood of this young man who died at that time still remains vividly in our mindset, especially like a revolution like myself, being in my 60s. I was there with him at around those ages and things. So I'm trying to tell y'all, I've seen and heard and know and was listening to police reports that you hear about on TV, that Chicago did or what happened in Philadelphia, Minnesota, like you're hearing it today. I heard all that back then. I heard about Fred Hampton. I heard about Mark Clark. I heard about various people who were in the Black struggle, who made a change in the Black community, who did wonderful, profound movements. And I love talking about Fred Hampton so much tonight because he was actually
thinking about running for office. And this was a bigger threat to the federal government and Chicago Police Department, who conspired with Cook County to murder this young man while he was in his sleep, because they knew there was no other way they'd be able to get him. Why? Because he was so profoundly protected. And anybody know yourself, symbolically speaking, just like when they kicked in Breonna Taylor's door, what they do? They catch everybody while we're asleep. They come in as unannounced conditions and basically wreak havoc on us, because they know why. That takes away the threat of an equal battle going on, okay? So I want everybody to listen to that. Now, having said that, let me tell you a little bit more about this beautiful brother here. I mean, I like to say beautiful because, as you know, that's like a velvet, you know, cloth on the table. You know, that's how profoundly important he was to us and to the black community and overall. So, Maya, tell me, if he were here today, what would you say to him right now?
Oh man, a whole lot. I'd be like, I need you to school me and everything. We finna double this movement right now. we finna make headlines. We finna free our people. You know, my thing is that I don't. Even though such heinous crimes was done to, you know, our revolutionaries and our ancestors. Back in the times before I was even born. Actually, my father was born in 1969. You know, so he kind of, you know, he's heard about it and seen things or whatever, and he kind of schools me on some things that I didn't know. But in general, I feel like they walk with me. It's not a day that I don't look or read something about our ancestors and dig deeper into the history, their principles, the things that they left behind, the books, the documentaries, all those things that are left behind you can take with you and actually walk in those principles and truths, the things that they have shifted the way that we live as African Americans here in the KKK, America, that we're in. So just in general, like if I could talk to Fred Hampton, it would probably be kind of speechless for the first maybe one or two minutes, but then I'll be like, I got my notebook for you. So, you know, tell me where you got that knowledge, you know, type.
Yes.
All in general, you know, we can keep it going. We can keep the legacy going of our revolutionaries, you know, including Fred Hampton himself, you know, with the actions that we do and practicing the things that they put out here for us to say, you have the right to bear arms. You know, we have to take care of each other. Those small things keep the memories and keep the principles that that they have taught, that they fought for, that they died for, going. So we have an obligation as revolutionaries and as people to keep those principles going and to keep the legacy and the life of the revolutionaries and ancestors that paved the way for us to live. I wouldn't say we live comfortably. I'm not going to say we live comfortably, because the climate that we live in right now is not comfortable for African Americans in general.
Come on now.
But I would say that we live in a more manageable situation than our ancestors have, you know, went through and died.
Of course.
You know, at that time. So, yeah, I don't have too much to say to him.
You know, and it would be well worthwhile. I tell you what, you'll be well schooled when he's finished. You'll be a revolutionary to the core, because, as you see, they took that brother out and was so profoundly realistic that they raided him. His pregnant wife, Miss Deborah Johnson, lay beside him, 9 months pregnant. They pulled her out, and after she was gone, everybody said they heard two more shots, and those were the two shots to the dome. Think about it now. What manner of evil, wicked, vicious animal would kill a person already unconscious? He certainly wasn't a threat to you. But they knew they could not allow this man to walk out of that apartment alive and having to explain their raid Sister Mayette and others that's missing it. Brother Harvey, thank you for tuning in. Sisters and brothers that's listening to me, this brother was a direct threat and understood the Constitution to its core and knew that the Second Amendment right for him to bear arms, which was clearly identifiable with the Black Panther Party, because as you've seen rallies and marches and fighting against police department, making sure that people were safe and sound, guess what? Them brothers carried their rifles and things. So that's what scared the federal government, because if they lost control of us giving together and formulating platoons and boots on the ground and having our own committees and our own governments, our own, you know, secret societies and different things, he knew in the end that was their doomsday for the United Snakes of America. That's why I call them the way I do them. Now, the first right, as we're talking about on the Second Amendment's interpretation was in a case in 1876 by the United States Supreme Court in the United States versus Khrushchev versus Shang. In that case, the court ruled that the Second Amendment limited the federal government right to infringe on people carrying guns, okay? And the Black Panthers themselves used that 1876 law to justify their right to bear arms. And as you saw, the United States could not take them away from them because this was the Second Amendment that gave everybody the right to bear arms. But now listen carefully, y'all. The right to bear arms did not include you and I, because if I told y'all now, the first 12 amendments did not include blacks or human beings, because we were considered as chattel, slaves, furniture, okay, animals. Now, so listen carefully. So therefore, in all actuality, we did not have a right to bear arms. But because of the more liberal changes in the laws and statutes, where they start lumping us in with these, again, rulings in 1876, now, which was later than the Constitution, which was approved in 1776. So now we have, 12 years later, okay, yeah, everybody can bear arms now. Every human being, if you walk on the United States doing this, that, and other, you can bear arms. All right, shotguns, whatever the case it is. So the Second Amendment, may add, now, what do you think? I mean, do you think that's good that everybody bearing arms? Or, I mean, why? Why should I be able to protect myself with my enemy if he's coming up on me? I mean, how should I carry my gun? What should I do? I mean, just give me an idea of what you think about all that.
Now, I'm going to pull out a quote from Fred Hampton. He said, people have to be armed to have power, you see. Now, that is definitely true by all 100% means everything. You know, this world is not getting... this world is not getting any better. We have always known who our oppressor is, you know, and at this point in time in this climate here in the States, it's getting worse. Internally, we have an issue with people, you know, killing each other, you know, just for the stupidest reasons possible. So we have an internal threat and we have an external threat, you know what I mean? And being armed gives you the ability to make, you know, gives you the position to
be an equal firearm.
To level the playing field, because, you know, if we walk out our front door, we don't know what is going to meet us. We don't know who is going to be there. And then at this point in time, we don't know who is coming to our country to, you know, invade us. To put us in a position where we have to protect ourselves. So I always promote the Second Amendment, because I've been in situations personally where if I had had a firearm, I would have been better equipped to protect myself and to protect others around me. This is your right to bear arms. Don't take it lightly, because the climate of America is not getting better. You know, the Breonna Taylor cases, you know, happen all the time. We have local cases that happen here in Oklahoma that happen across the United States. In general, heinous crimes that happen to our people and our children, the women, the men. So they don't discriminate on what African-American they finna shoot. You know, we have to take that seriously, because it could be a situation where we have to make a quick decision. And I
really don't want to highlight, but I do want to highlight at the same time our own people. Like, you know, as far as, you know, Fred Hampton, you know, it was one of his people that betrayed him, you know, that played a huge part.
Yeah, that's right there too, right. They drug him during a part of the head, yes, yes.
So we have
it always like that.
Yeah, we got to be aware of everybody, you know what I mean, at this point.
Yeah, yes.
To protect ours, and that, you know, like I said, the even not even just Fred Hampton's story, but other revolutionaries and other individuals that went through similar situations like that, those things happened to where our own people turned their backs against us and joined with the oppressors, you know, to continue out there. For us as African American people, so you know, on a large scale, as far as war, as far as you know, people you know still enslaving us in other countries that I have heard, and that is crazy. The immediate threat and also the you know the global threat for us as African American people should alarm you and should, you know, push you to bear arms just to protect yourself and your family. I don't care if you're a man or a woman.
Yeah.
Either way, you need to be armed. You need to protect what's yours and what you're building and your, you know, your entire existence because at any moment, danger can meet you at the front door. You know, it can meet you at the convenience store. It can meet you when you, you know, on vacation or something, you know, so we have to be prepared so that we don't have to, you know, be in those situations without having protection or without having the ability to change the outcome.
Hey, man. Oh, man, you know what? Sister Vivian was saying, man, that she's inspired by you, man, and several others. Randy has said it. Jocelyn and for others, I haven't told you yet about this here because I didn't want you to be distracted by it, but this is why they want to make sure that the show came on tonight because they wanted more to satisfy their psyche in getting involved like this here because they say that this is something they've always wanted to do but didn't know what direction in which they came, and this show gave them the avenue from which to press the issue further, and having someone like yourself that's coming on board and all the other revolutionary shows we've done is giving them an inspiration and a leadership that they can look forward to. What do you think about that?
Oh, Shay, I'm always honored. You know, I always, you know, give thanks to the Most High for putting me in a position that I'm in to inspire because I've been in, you know, I've been where everybody's been at, where I hadn't always been armed. I hadn't always been ahead of everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, someone inspired me. Someone, you know, talked to me and pushed the importance of everything that I stand for at this point in time. You know, because I'm still growing. There's still always something to learn. There's still always something that you can build onto yourself. So, I take it all, you know, as, you know, I'm in the right direction and I'm doing the work of the people and I'm doing the work of the Most High and the ancestors. So, you know.
Go ahead.
I said that was all I had to say today.
A brother, Randy here from Atlanta, Georgia, said he wants to know a little bit about what role your mother and father played in all this.
Oh, well, as you know, my father played a huge role in who I am, and my mother also. My father was more of the revolutionary spirited individual.
Right.
He really pressed the, you know, we're not from here. You know, we came from Egypt. Our people, were, you know, we came from Africa. Our people wrote the story. This is who we are, and introduced me to a lot of our culture while I was young. At the time, I didn't understand what he was talking about. I was like, okay. But as I got older, I said, you know what? I'm like, okay. So I had to make a decision about, you know, what path I wanted to take. I could continue to walk in the Americanized version of what who we really are, or I could go seek the truth. And I did. As far as my mother, as far as a black woman figure, you know, she really pushed me to have that, you know, drive to not settle for what America, you know, says that I can have. Go above and beyond and not settle for things. So I really do honor her, and I appreciate both of my parents for pushing me to be who I am. My father did push me also, but, you know, just giving me the basic of self that I could build on was, you know, something that I can take with me forever. And I have conversations like this with him. We'd be going back and forth about what, you know, what we really started and how, you know, history was made and how all these things impact us in our future, you know, to come. And right now at this moment is being African-Americans, and they both support me in what I do. And I really do appreciate that.
I wanted to say this to the court. Definitely. I know your father feels proud that now he has a daughter who can basically compete with him on a level and talk back to him, because intelligence in turn loves intelligence. What, am I right about that?
That is very true.
You see?
That is
so true. When a person is starved for an intelligence person to give back to them what he know he's taught to them, he can sit back and say, yeah, that's my daughter. I taught her that, y'all. And at the same time, you in turn is giving back to others, and look what you are doing, because you have basically, though young, that mother figure, the caring figure, the compassionate figure that everyone draws to, because with all the madness, the killings, the beat downs and assault and batteries and things going on, you represent the opposite of that. So therefore, you're giving them something than all that evil, wicked, uncontrolled behavior that everyone is talking about. Now, Robert wants to know, if he became a Black Panther, can he still be freed after Gun Club?
I'm not quite sure as far as the organization-wise. That's something that I would have to run past my higher-ups far as dual members in two different organizations. But I will tell you that we do work together on a large scale. So whatever or grassroots organization you decide to be with, in turn, if you're doing the work of the people, you know, ashe, you know, but it's not like we have our own separate organizations, but at the same time, we come together and do the work of the people. So it's wherever you feel that your calling is.
Right. Okay. So he wants, if you can, he said, if you don't mind, tell him your website again so he can tell some others to go to it. And they're really getting into it. And thank you, man, by the way. We appreciate you for tuning in with us. Vivian as well. And she's definitely listening, writing it down. And they all want to know if you can recite again your page as well as the phone number they can reach you at and whatever else you want to share with them.
Okay. Now, we have many chapters. We have many chapters across the states. So if you're not in Oklahoma directly, I still can get you in touch with the chairwoman or the chairman in that state you're in.
Right.
We do have an official page from our that's ran by our generals and our national. Our general is Taliba Tunde. You can also find him on Facebook. Also,
he wanna know if you can spell that for him. What's his name?
It's spelled T-A-L-I-B. That's his first name, and Atunde is A-T-U-N-D-E.
And A-T-U-N-D-E, y'all. T-A-L-I-Z. Mm-hmm. And the last again, A-N.
It's spelled T-A-L-I-B. Last name is spelled A-T-U-N-D-E.
A-T-U-N-D-E, y'all, is the last name. Okay, so y'all get with the sister, man. Like I said, she's fire. I mean, she's real for it, and I mean, she's actually sincere about the upliftment of her people And if you're a human being, she don't care about you, she'll work with you like I will, because as human beings, we must work with. Of course, no, as everybody should know, there are certain aspects of the African culture that, you know, a lot of people will not be allowed to be involved in them again. Everybody, just like white culture, Hispanic, Asian, we all know that there are certain degrees that, you know, you can't cross. But at the same time, this does not mean we can't associate with each other. This does not mean we can't eat together. This does not mean we can't rally against the suckers that's killing us down in the street. You understand me? But at the end of the day, we go home to our particular habitat. So, again, y'all, it's all about – go ahead on.
Oh, that that's our generals page. We do have a couple of other pages. The official Fred Hampton Gun Club, it'll just say club. It won't say a chapter at the end of it. That's our official page. Locally, if you want to get in contact with me, it's Fred Hampton Gun Club, Oklahoma, or OKC. And then my page is Maya Yaboa. It's spelled M-A-A-T. Last name is Y-E-B-O-A-H. And either way, we will get you in contact with whoever, the chairwoman, chairman, over that particular state. And if you get in contact with me, I can text you the information or send you the link if you are interested in joining the Fred Hampton Gun Club or have any questions. Just inbox me.
Oh, man. One lady said her child name is Emily, and she's 12 years old, and she just thanks you so much that she has a black woman that she can look up to who is not afraid to stand up and who is not just out there being a troublemaker. She says she doesn't sense that from you at all. So, again, Mayette, you are making a difference here on our show. Again, this is y'all's show as well. If y'all have an idea for a show, please let us know. We don't want to always put our own show, but we have to do something ourselves. I don't care, like I said, if you're talking about something legitimate, something profound, it don't just have to be a black nature. You might say you want to talk about how Hispanics are being discriminated against or how your landlord is doing you wrong or whatever. Y'all, I mean, I can't tell you what to speak about because then your voice will be controlled by me. I'm not your government. I'm simply your brother and your friend and your comrade. That's what I said, y'all. I'm all about your unity, your respect, and getting what you rightfully have as far as education, the disparity in education, unfair in housing, medical procedures, access to jobs, the opportunities are abounding, y'all. We have right to wealth just as the powers that be are keeping us controlled by amassing the wealth themselves, y'all. So clearly it's about us versus them.
I
want y'all to know. I
shame. And the crazy
so again, y'all, come on. Go ahead.
I did want to add on to that, you know, we originally, as people of minorities, African descent, all of us oppressed people, we didn't start this. You know what I mean? We could actually have a peaceful environment, but, you know, the climate that they, you know, are producing from the wealthy white people and the wealthy people in general on that high scale, you know, created what we have right now, this confrontation, this war amongst each other, the black-on-black crime. They created these things to keep us in the same cycle. But really on a local level, sometimes you don't see that. Most of us are chill. But at the same time, these strategies of war that they have put out here is from the higher up, the wealthier, the people above that call those shots and make those laws to keep us in the same cycle or pump drugs and pump all these things into our community to keep us fighting and keep us against each other. So never forget that. It's not, when we say, you know, power to the people and all power to the people, that's what we mean in general. We mean that we really do have the say-so. We just have to stand up. We just have to take initiative and be determined to get back what we are rightfully owed, you know, and to have safer environments, to be able to protect our families and to be able to exercise our Second Amendment. Those things are there, so we have to make that priority in order to preserve our nation and to preserve our people, especially African descent, you know. So that's all I got to say.
No, hey, you're very beautiful. Mayan, oh, my God, my beautiful sister. You know, ladies out there, all of you people are beautiful to me. And I say men as well. When I say that, I'm talking about a well-refined specimen. I want y'all to know this is the kind of influence and undeniable realization that I like to give to people. I like to give them that sense of camaraderie, that sense of independence, that sense of knowing that you're somebody. This is what Michael Washington does. Baba Wetafa, father of many nations, y'all. I want to encourage you to stand up and fight for your rights. Bob Marley said, stand up for your rights. Don't give up the fight, y'all, because it is a fight on a daily, constant basis. We're running up against evil, wicked people in diverse places. We're looking at the principalities against humanity, fighting against them every day, y'all. If it were not so, we would not have to worry about being denied the economic development that the other echelons of the elite has an excess of privilege to. We wouldn't be denied the possible education that's qualified and naturally important enough for us to embrace or to become effective in government and procedures. This is why, listen carefully, everybody, this is why we, as me as a Pan-Africanist, that's right, y'all heard me say it, I don't mind, say it, I'll get on a bullhorn today, a Pan-Africanist, what, listen carefully, is simply someone who sees the value in his African brothers and sisters uniting and coming together collectively to fight the oppressor on whatever level we may meet. If we are connected in Africa, in our Kivu land, Africa, and in the diaspora, in America as blacks, look at the powerful education and knowledge and wisdom, overstanding as well as finances that we can trade with one another and build a strong, firm foundation among ourselves, y'all. This is what my mindset is. And I have, listen carefully, I have brothers and sisters today. I'm on African committees right now as we speak. You heard me. And we have Okoma Coalition Against People Abuse over there. And you know what the name of that is over there? African Okoma Coalition Against People Abuse. That's the name of it over there. So, y'all, okay. I am connecting with my brothers and sisters over there to empower them to be refined. Let me tell y'all something. Y'all listen carefully, man. Our brothers and sisters in the most progressive economic system right now are starved for education. That's why they're looking for us to bring some of this American technology back over to them, because they've been starved, and the people in wealth and power today with the education system are keeping them isolated from all the literal technologies that are keeping them up to date in the year 2022, y'all. The knowledge that they got may be expanded to 1987, maybe somewhere in there. Just think what all has transpired since that time. So, Sister Mary, what do you think about us connecting with our brothers and sisters over there? We're still talking about the gun club. We're still talking about Second Amendment, because this is, y'all, we're expanding now. It all means the same thing. We're just giving education out because we don't want to get too boring talking about one thing. This show gives the people what they need to hear. We don't want to suppress their mindset. So what do you think about Africa and Africans in the diaspora uniting and hooking up with one another?
I say, you know, like I always say, I say nation for a reason, because we are global. You know, we are global people.
Yes.
And us
connecting
with our homeland and our people from our homeland is very essential because, you know, let's say – I'm going to give us, you know, an example. Asian Americans, you know, they keep in contact with their people across, you know, the land, so that they can go back at any moment. Some of them carry dual memberships to go back and forth to their homeland. Why should we as African Americans will have the same mindset to want to connect with our people? Yes, they have their own stories over there that, you know, may be different from ours, but at the same time, it's all similar. It's all the same. We're all going through similar situations of being oppressed people, of being discriminated against. And us connecting with them is showing them, hey, just because we're across the world doesn't mean that we've forgotten where we come from.
Come on.
You know, where we were taken from.
Yes.
So at any moment, like I said, the Black nation, if something was to happen, I feel like us, let me just say this, us as African-American people, our revolution, our fight against the oppressors, because mm-hmm, we have several.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes,
us, yes. Our fight, our battle here will inspire Africa to do the same. And that is just my personal opinion about it. But they look at us and they look how we behave over here. They look, some of them even say, Americanized, or you're this. That means that we're conforming to the system and we're conforming to their plan for us. But once we rebelled and we moved away from that, you know, Africa is going to be empowered by that. They're going to have that direct effect from us, a positive effect to want to free those, you know, places in Africa that are still battling, that are still fighting some of those things, and to really liberate us as a people is the goal in general. And I feel like staying in connection with the motherland is very essential, because those are our people too.
Ooh, now see, you hit the point, the nail right on the head, man. You are actually exposing the tyranny and oppression perpetrated by your white European power oppressors. At the for the most part, everybody listen carefully. They're called imperialists. All of you are listening, imperialists. What that means is that, Ashe, you have people, watch this here, Belgian, Dutch, France, Portugal, England, et cetera, who came in as imperialists, each in turn running specific parts of Africa, and in turn taking its artifacts, wealth, its gold, its paintings of monuments, and took them back to Europe, where they lined the walls of cathedrals, churches, malls, history centers. And it all, watch this, y'all, it all reflects that Massa knows where his heart and soul lies. This is a commemoration of them. When they put your paintings and stuff up, marveling at what beauty, what refinement that got them to start, y'all. So don't ever think that they don't know who you are. But the whole purpose is that you don't work. Ashe, the purpose is that you not put on your bootstraps, put your boots to the ground, and demand what rightfully has been held, illegally, wrongfully held from you for more than two centuries, and that is the reparations that's owed to you, not only in America, but in Haiti, Grenada, Africa, Sanhedrins, all over the world. Y'all don't hear me. We didn't just build the cotton fields over here, the sugar cane, the tobacco industry. We built it all over the world, in Florida, Tennessee, China, New Mexico, everywhere. And y'all ready for this one? We haven't been paid a cent. Why? I keep listening. Everybody listen carefully. The why and reason we haven't been paid the zillions that's owed to us is because when you give a black man an educated woman with money, wealth, fame, and prosperity, then you create a madness that's going to subject you to a basic raw rise and fall of an American empire, because they rely upon our people to continue to sustain their wealth and aristocracy. Okay? So that's why they don't want to make sure that we don't have it, because you'll be able to employ your own kind now. You'll be able to establish your independence. So it is my position, listen carefully, as a Pan-Africanist, that we move toward a direction to own our own government, to own our own schools, to own our own factories, to own our own education centers, to own our own baby centers, to own our own car lots. Y'all don't hear me. To own our own bus station, airlines. Watch it now. That's what he's scared of. Because with wealth, you can amass and do great things, great wonders, that would make you one of the most specific wonders of the world. One of the first and the main perspectives that I want everybody to listen carefully to listen to is this. One of the eight wonders of the world is Al Kibu Land, Africa. It's one of the eight. Look it up. one of the eight wonders of the world. There are only eight, in other words, minute, very just awe-inspiring moments, in a sense. That's what that means. When you look at that, why would Africa not be in that eight wonder of the world? Y'all could just type it and look it up on your internet, just put eight wonders of the world, just type it all up. You will see that we're low on the, on the totem pole even when it comes to the phenomena. How can you not be the top phenomenon when all life came from you? That's what it means by eight wonder of a world, right? So how in the world can we not be at the top when everything proceeded from you and migrated out to form another land? Sister Maya, what do you think about it?
You know, my thing is that it's very important, like I said earlier, it's very important that we understand knowledge of self. We have to know our people. We have to know where we came from.
Mm-hmm.
We have to know in depth, you know, because that will reveal to you and make it more real to you when you understand. They feel like, you know, as far as, you know, genes, as far as how we are, how we pick up things, our learning is a lot faster than theirs. So they're intimidated by that instead of them working with us, they want to work against us. They want to eliminate
yes.
the that they feel that is superior. And that's not just my opinion. That is off of reading, off of knowledge of self that is put out here by our ancestors, the documented things. You can just go over so much information from scholars, from other people that have degrees in teaching our people that they'll say African-American studies of da-da-da. These people have done so much research in order to reveal the reasons why they fight against us for absolutely no reason and commit heinous crimes. So us knowing the root cause of what we're currently dealing with and understanding the power that we have as people, as African descent people and other, you know, nations, but specifically African-American people, that will give us better understanding. So it's an all-around war. It's an all-around thing. It's not just them, you know, gunning us down and killing us. It's also, you know, the amount of pressure that they put, you know, on the system to oppress us is another thing. So it's essential to know where we came from, who we are, all
mm-hmm.
those things that make us African-Americans to know, or African descendants, because sometimes we're not here in America. You know, we see,
mm-hmm.
you know, people praying, they're fighting back. They're fighting back. That's a good example. They're fighting back and saying, why should we fight when y'all not even trying to get us out of this country? Why should we bear arms here and fight for y'all when
yeah.
y'all don't even want us here? Y'all want to put us on the front line of this war to get rid of us so that y'all don't have to fight this fight that y'all created. So that's just my two cents.
Hey, oh, man, you know, now, man, you inspired me. Everybody that's listening, thank you, Randy, for tuning in. Everybody that's listening, listen carefully. Y'all heard what the sister just said. We have to embrace the theory of Pan-Africanism. God just asked me, can he be a Pan-Africanist? And he's a European. Well, sir, quite naturally, no, you can't. You can't, in the strong sense of the word. I have to keep it real with you, because to not be fair with you would be just like me lying to you. Don't lie. Here you're going to get truth or not at all. Now, if the truth runs you off, my friend, it's going to have to. And I say it like that because I want you to continue to remain at least one thing about it. You know, if you come to this show, you're going to be told like it is, not like it was or will be. So, no, sir, you can't be a Pan-Africanist because you're not an African. Pan means to be connected with by nature. Okay? So it's not anything against you. Just like you have white pride in certain areas. That's not a bad term. Only when you try to use your wealth and opulence or your position to hold someone back. A Pan-African is not doing that. We're trying to reunite our people who have been disfavored, displaced from among the ranks of their own kind. That's simply all that means. That'll mean we're better than, less than. And as a matter of fact, though, should we assume our role as our own leaders and providers and builders, we would not use a tyrannical system to deny you, your children, anyone else education. What we will do is recognize your abilities and your right to subsist and subside with us, live alongside of us, drink with us, eat the food like we eat. We're not going to put our enslaved bondage on you, keep you out of education, keep you out of housing, keep you out of transportation. No, 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 no. That's not what we do. So this is, thank you. Thank you, man, for being truthful. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Watson, for being truthful, man. We love you, and we want to keep listening to y'all show. You and the sister, Mayette, I don't know how you pronounce her name. Yes, Mayette, brother. So you see, we have to give it to him, Mayette. Now, listen carefully, everybody. Now that I've answered that question, was that sufficient for you, brother? Okay, good. Thank you. Now, let me very briefly get on the issue of reparation. This is very sensitive to me, y'all. I mean, it turns my head. But now, I want everybody to get a pencil, first of all, number one. And here's the word. Now, listen carefully. I want y'all to imbibe this word into your mindset, your brilliant minds, and start using it, because this is going to give you, especially the European, the Asian, the natives, and any other who question about the forced trauma or traumatic condition of Africans in the Western Hemisphere, let me tell y'all, this is a word that's going to open the door so profoundly for all of you on every level. This word here is going to be the driving stone to get you to first base on whatever level on how blacks were destroyed, discriminated against, not allowed economic, social, or political, and even moral acceptance. Here's the word. It is called redlining. Ooh, powerful, redlining, redlining. Y'all look that word up when you get off the air tonight, and if Michael Washington didn't help you, Baba Wittafa didn't help you open your frame of mind, I'm saying this to a lot of y'all because I know you're not getting it out there like this yet. That doesn't make you terrible or sad or bad, but what that does do is give you the ammunition from which you can now start talking on the level of others when you go look up redlining, everything you need to know regarding how Africans have been left out of the mainstream of what America has to offer is laid right there now in your lap. Now, Ashe, you want to say something? Go ahead, man. You got something to add on it?
Oh, I didn't have anything to add on it, but you know I will.
I already know. Hey. And now watch this here. Next Thursday, everybody keep your pen and pad ready because we're going to talk about redlining. I want to give the education to Cynthia said, yeah. She got the phone lit up. Thank you already. I'll tell you, I'm telling you, man, we are starting a movement with the radio show right now. We are starting with the movement right now. Oh, man. Whenever I tell them that we have a certain few minutes left, they say, dang, man, come on. Is that all? You sure you can't let me go longer?
Man.
So we're feeding the people that's hungry. We're doing what Jesus said, do. When I was sick, you came and healed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. This is symbolically what we are doing. So we're doing the work of the great master planner, Jesus Christ. So this is important. Now, reparations, y'all. Ooh, it's touchy. Listen carefully. Reparations, y'all, is a system by which redress is given for any egregious injustices that's visited upon black folks or anybody else. Let's say, for example, okay, United States, they've also gave the Native Americans billions of dollars in land, you know, for various benefits and programs that are still going on, you know, for all the time that they've been enslaughtered. And as you know, here in the United States, they've been placed on basically teepees and small villages and land. Now they've become a little bit more accessible to the United States as a whole. And at the same time, we as African Americans should as well, because we till the land even for the Native Americans. Let's keep that real as well. We have to be real on the show, or we're not at all. Let's think about, too, the Japanese, who were paid $1.5 billion for their intervention in World War II. Now, think about it, y'all. The United States, per the Marshall Plan, if y'all want to look that up, I'm telling y'all, helped to ensure that Jews receive reparations for the Holocaust. Watch this here. The United States is going outside of its homeland to give reparations for the Holocaust for the Jewish community, but failed to do so from its own African-American community. Look at the mindset, y'all, including various investments over time that they're giving billions of dollars each year, up to $4 billion to Jerusalem, continually subsiding, in other words, continuing to make sure that they retain their independence. And Germany, guess what? They're getting $3.5 billion for the Holocaust survivors in Germany from the Jewish community through Hitler. So what I'm saying to y'all, watch this here. We are the only group in America as Africans, I call myself African in the diaspora. I'm not African American. I'm just going to tell you that because I got to be one or the other. I don't know which one, but I'll just say Africa, in diaspora, in African, because my roots came from Africa. Again, y'all, I'm going to start saying more and more things like this here that were already there, but I wanted to make sure everybody got a good and vivid idea of what Michael Washington is saying when he say things. So Africans in the diaspora, blacks in the diaspora, whatever name you want to call us, we're not African Americans, because in African Americans, you're either African or you're American. Bottom line. So if you're black, you're either black or you're African-American, however you want to say it, you want to put it. Again, I'm not telling anybody to follow my insight, but let me say this here. We are the only group in America that has not received any form of reparation for state-sanctioned racial discrimination.
A shame.
A shame. We have given, listen, y'all, it's been approved. Look at your scientific maps. We have put trillions of dollars into this American government and have not been paid for our labor. The only group in the United States that has never been paid, I just named out three groups that have been given theirs, but we, listen carefully, y'all, 15% of the enslaved were shipped from West Africa. They died. 15% of us, we died. We didn't even make it here, y'all. So they owe us for that. They owe us for the ones who made it here. The ones that even got here doing the transatlantic slave trade. Listen, Robert, would you ask Robert one more time? Transatlantic slave trade. What that is, brother, is that they were in the slave ships, doing the slave ships from the shores of Africa. This is what is called the transatlantic slave trade, where, you know, they were taking ships, we were going to Hades, Tahiti, Caribbeans, Grenada. That's all, and that's what that meant. In other words, we were just basically packed as sardines on slave ships. We were, you know, filth, laid each other's, you know, urine and defecations, and wasn't fed but maybe a meal every two or three days or whatever, you know. So it was very, very traumatic situation for us. But, again, we owe those reparations, and we're going to demand that we give ours. Again, we have to do it ourselves as real revolutionaries, y'all, because as we see, black legislators, the so-called Congressional Black Caucus up there in Washington, D.C., man, those people are non-existent. I don't want to call them jokes or anything like this here, but I know for a fact nothing has happened at all this time. Why do I not hear their voices regarding reparations? It should be an everyday topic. It should be an everyday topic that we don't hear. Now, come on. Talk to me, man.
Shay, now as far as, you know, reparations, you know, you are 100% right on that. Everybody else has gotten reparations for every other thing or every Holocaust, every disaster, all those things, but they have not once given us our reparations for, you know, paving the way. You know what I mean? We've done so much in this country, pretty much built this country. Ground up, and for us taken from our homeland or sold off from our homeland, you know, we have, you know, we have the, we should have been the first ones, you know.
Yeah, no question, of course.
You know, it shouldn't be the last or nothing, but, you know, like, we've said before in like previous conversations, the first shall be last and the last shall be first, and it's coming, you know, whether they like it or not. So, you know, they need to continue to be talking about giving us our reparations, because we've done way too much. We've done more than pretty much anybody here, including white Americans. So, you know, we deserve and we are entitled to get, you know, get what we deserve. You know, so that is, that's my intake on it.
Hey, hey, you know what? You're right there, Mayette. You are, let me tell you something. I'm sure all of y'all heard the term of 40 acres and a mule, right? Now, we have to give it to the, one of the union leaders, General William Sherman. Now, we have to give him his credit because he allotted more than 400,000 acres of land that he confiscated from the federal states. That's right, in the, you know, the Confederate states, and gave it to black families. Okay, so we have to see that some of us are better off because, like I said, there are some black farmers, black landowners, but at the same time, listen carefully, a lot of those lands were taken back because of fake late taxes being paid, or you can't prove where you got it from. During this time, a lot of paperwork that was signed over to you showing that it was your land, if you couldn't prove that, then you had it illegally. And they passed federal laws to make sure that blacks could own lands for a certain period of time of their existence. Think about all that, y'all. If you're walking down the street, you could be re-enslaved, thus the idea of prisons, where they came from. Because a slave, if you couldn't determine where you were, that's why they legalized slavery under the 13th Amendment, saying, but for a crime committed, can you be enslaved or incarcerated? So there you have it. The 13th Amendment, as you see, simply because, listen carefully, simply because the 13th Amendment was passed for us as Africans here in the diaspora, that's telling you that. Who else was it for? Because under the 12, listen carefully, y'all, it's so clear. The 12 amendments, first, we will not mention until the 13th Amendment, that no person should be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor should slavery be forevermore banned. It should be banned now. So that's telling y'all, so only on the 13th Amendment, no question in our mind that they were talking about, you can only enslave those black folks if you rearrange your laws, your practice, and your procedures and regulations, which is the prison setting, create your own laws for your individual states, incarcerate these people based upon them violating the laws, being out too late, you can incarcerate them. They can't prove that they set free from the slave master. They not able to own land. They can't look a white person in the face. You see what I'm getting at, y'all? So they will call what you call slave codes. Those slave codes defined the prison system as we see it today, because you could be looking a person in the face, a white person in the face, and get time in prison. You could be lazy and not want to work, time in prison. Okay? You can have sex with a white woman or a white man and get time in prison. You understand what I'm saying, y'all? So we were never set free. The prison system was designed to incarcerate here and empower our slave master, who in turn benefited tremendously off the backs, the hardship, bloodshed, and death of the African here in the Western Hemisphere. So everybody out there listening to us really good, I want y'all to remember that word. I'm going to sit in there, and I'm going to ask anybody. Anybody remember that word? I want y'all to look up. Okay, you got it, Randy, and who else? Vivian, you were trying to get it down, and you didn't get it. You want me to say it again? Okay. Redlining, y'all, redlining. Listen to that carefully, y'all. I want y'all to imbibe that. Soak that into your brain set, because it's going to help you when you talk to your children and people in the stores. You're giving them words that they're not used to hearing and listening to, y'all. This is what I do, y'all. I give people words and stuff to increase their intellectual capacities, and they in turn help me increase mine, because you remind me of words I need to keep rephrasing in my mind or registering in my mind, because when you say it, then you're helping me remember as well. It's like a revolving door. It's like a pattern of conduct. It's like you eating food every day. Why? Because you're staying healthy. You see? So this is how we have to look at these things, y'all. Ashe.
See, this is why it is important that we learn these words, because it increases our vocabulary. It causes others to look at us. When you use words, you say, hey, what does that mean? And then the next person, if they bite into it, they're going to go out and share it as well. Because a lot of people believe in you. Ashe. They know that you're not going to just be saying something, just to be saying it. So it has this connection, y'all. This is all I do, man. I'm a sharecropper, you know. I go out and till the fields. I bring back the food for those who need to eat it. Of course, we can't make anybody eat that don't want to and then don't want to do it. You have to have that spire, that spunk, and that determination to be a part of our progress. Y'all, we got about 8 minutes. So, Sister May, I take a couple of minutes and tell us a little bit about what you thought about the show and where you think we can go from here, and then we'll ask a few others, and I'll close us out in about 4 minutes. Go ahead on, Sister.
Now, like I said, you know, on the topic of our conversation on here, everybody, if you have, you know, if you don't have anything that's stopping you from carrying a firearm, please do equip yourself and get properly trained and also practice gun safety. Like I was telling you earlier, the world is getting is not getting any better. We have we have several oppressors. We also have our people that will also go against us. So you need to protect yourself and protect your family by all means necessary. And that's one big thing that I push, because I push myself as much as I push anybody else. So anything that saying to you, I do myself. So please do get armed. Please do pay attention to your surroundings. Pay attention to what's going on out here with our people here in the States and also over across seas. Because if anything happens there, it may be at our front door. And at any moment, as far as revolutionaries too, you know, we're going to have to step up, and we're going to have to be the example for you guys to, you know, see that this is how we're living now. We have to live different. We don't have a former individual that I spoke with before, you know, was, you know, saying the importance of carrying a firearm in the situations that he and she have, you know, been through. I mean, also, I also spoke with another individual just recently, very knowledgeable gentleman. He, you know, was saying we don't have the luxury to walk around here, you know, like we have security. We have to be our own security. We have to be our own first line of protection to preserve us as African-American people, because they are not geared to protect us. They are geared to protect the people with money, with power, and most of them people have security to do those things. So as the head of the house, man or woman, because that's the climate that we live in and that's the predicament that they have put us in, we have to be the front line. We have to be the front line of protection. We cannot rely on, you know, the police. We can't rely on any of them to protect first, because they misuse their positions. They misuse their power. And we see that all the time. So we have to protect ourselves against pretty much any and everything. And us like-minded individuals that are on that same page, we need to come together and we need to still press the issue. So if you're not even a part of, you know, any organization, you know, we still, you know, we still as African descent people have to still live on guard to an extent to protect our own and to preserve our legacies and the things that we built for our families. And even, you know, especially business owners, you know, black business owners, You know, I see a lot of them also carry protection because it meets them at their front door. They deal with things on a sometimes a larger scale when it comes to money moving and position holding. So there's different types of things that we come encounter with. But just in general, as far as African American people, we need to bear arms because that is our right to bear arms, and it's our right to protect us and to protect our community. So please do so. Y'all can contact me on Fred Hampton Gun Club, Oklahoma City.
Right.
Also my Facebook is Mayat Yeboah, M-A-A-T. Yeboah spelled Y-E-B-O-A-H. Also, if y'all can contact, you know, Michael Washington. You know, I'm not trying to – I know that certain organizations is not fit for everybody, but at the same time, we all work together. So always know to a certain extent, I definitely will promote whoever is working for the people, and their mind is set on the people and not individual type things.
Yes.
If we're on the same page for the people and we work for the people and we're working to protect the people, that's all I care about. So.
Oh, man, that was beautiful. You put that, I mean, you laid it down. I mean, you just said it. We are here not for popularity contests. Matter of fact, I've been on several popularity contests and came in last every time. Why? Because my mind went on it. I tell people all the time in front of jailhouse and in courthouse, man, you just trying to be somebody. I said, no, I'm not. I said, I'm not trying to be. I know I am somebody, number one. And whatever y'all trying to put down, I'm just not, you just can't run that by me because I'm not going for it. You know, I'm not trying to hear it. So I'm telling all of y'all, don't let people make you. Let God make you because he sees. He knows your thought, and a matter of fact, he tells us very clearly that he knows every hair that's on our head. Nothing gets by him. You don't worry about the next person because the next person is no better than you. Just like you, one day we're going to be 6 foot under the ground. You're going to be people talking about how nice you were or how bad you were or how you ate cookies or whatever the case was. Listen carefully, y'all. We don't worry about it. Just do what your duty here is on earth so that you can be received with the ancients saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's all your pattern of conduct should be geared toward. Once you realize that and accept that foundation, this is how memories of your great past lives on as a legacy for you when you're gone. Malcolm X, Sojourner Truth, even a white guy, John Brown, during the time of Frederick Douglass. Come on now. Look how we still remember their names, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X. Look how we remember their names, but they no longer here physically. Why? Because they made a difference in all of our lives. We want to thank everybody for joining us. I wanted to give you the proper send-off so that I won't be talking and we could cut you off in your face. Again, y'all, Michael Washington, Baba Wetafa, Father of Many Nations right here, the Tree Shaker in Oklahoma City. My wonderful, illustrious guest is Sister Mayad, and she was one of the major topics on our show tonight. Again, should private citizens bear arms? You already heard her thought on that, and she represents the Fred Hampton Gun Club very gallantly, recognized as a top-notch official here in that rank. And so let's get behind her, and those of you who ask questions of her, you'll be able to ask many more of her soon because we're not going to let this show end. And we're going to keep some in here for you to be imbibed and so that you can get a better understanding of what we can answer. If we can answer, we can't answer, then someone else can answer it for you. We can find somebody to do that. So, again, if y'all need to contact us if you want to do a show, it's area code 405-246-9089. I am the executive director of Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse, where our motto is change your world and your world will change around you. We are not trying to be better than or greater than or less than anyone. We want to be on an equal level with you, so that you can feel comfortable when you're around us, if we see you out, if you need any conversation, at least you can feel warm, relaxed, and welcomed. So with that, everybody, we got about 30 seconds. Peace be unto all of you. I wish you great Godspeed, your family, and be safe from this COVID stuff, y'all. I mean, my love, concern for you all is unmatched. It's uncompromised. So be blessed, everyone. We're getting ready to cut off. So if they cut us off, 10 seconds, as the radio announcer just said. Y'all be blessed, man, and Please pray for me, and I will definitely pray for you. On that note, be blessed, everyone, and we will see you all later. Next show will be this coming Thursday. We haven't got the topic just yet, but we'll have it out there in plenty enough time for you people to get back again. Y'all be blessed. And hopefully God will protect you from all hurt, harm, or danger. This is Backup Brother Michael Baba Witafa. And on behalf of Sister Miat Yuboah, be blessed, everybody. And we'll see y'all next time. Have a good one.
Ashe.
Ashe, we out there now. We did pretty good with that, man. Woo, that's one of our best ones there, boy. Woo, that one and then the one with the real revolutionaries, please stand up. I think those two topped it off.
For real.
Yeah.
Like,
do you think so? Now, don't just like, say if you don't think so. Tell me if you don't think it did,
no.
But I think, that, hey, oh, man.
That's
boy, we laid it out tonight. Boy, we got that phone line lit up, boy. Ooh-wee.
My thought process is, you know, pretty much any and everything that we say or do, you know, as
wow.
far as examples, you know, really do impact people on levels that we
that's...
may not even have a chance to see. You know what I mean? So I don't even know. My personal thing, I don't even know, you know, what I do or what I say is actually impacting people. But I also don't even highlight it because it's not for me. You know what I mean? It's for the people in general. You know what I mean? It's for coming to the real. Because once it becomes more real to an individual, then it becomes, okay, now this person is coming from a different perspective. They're not sitting here pushing me like a sales pitch to, you know, to be a revolutionary or to be for the people or to actually protect myself.
Uh-huh.
They are pushing me, you know, internally to seek this knowledge for myself. So every show that we do, every topic that we, you know, do, we're just building on top of a foundation that we may not even be able to see. I may not even be around to see that. You know, type situation.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's doing the work of the Most High without even worrying about what am I gonna get from it? Am I gonna get this? You know, those type of people don't last at all.
They
dwindle away off into nowhere because their approach is to gain something from it at the same time.
Yes.
It's not, they're not looking to inspire, they're looking to gain. But, you know, that's my take on it, you know. And
no, you're right on time. Yeah, you are on time. Listen to what you said. God does not give you the finesse, the wisdom, the integrity, the encouragement, the wise as you are to be so young. You want to know why he really gave it to you? Because you honestly, when you got it, have a legitimate concern rather than being money driven. Do you understand the difference here?
I'm saying.
That's why when you see some madness and crazy shit going on, it makes you mad. You want to tear some shit up. Y'all heard you say it just like me. Because you know they're not acting like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, we can't do it.
Like, I'd be one to, like, get on there and just go off. Like, I'd be like, are you serious? What
yes.
is this mess you putting out here? Like,
yes.
that's a disgrace.
Yes.
The ones that paved
yes.
the way for us to do what we do now. And if you don't do it genuinely, get the hell out of here.
Get out of our way.
Please, quit piddle-paddling with resources resources and shit that you could be using to help these people.
Yes.
And talking about
yes.
shit that is not helping. That don't do anything for people. You're wasting time. If you ain't walking in your purpose and you're not walking in the reason why you chose to do what you did, because choice, because you could have ignored the call like most people do. But if you have chosen to do this, quit, get out of self. You know, we talk about self-knowledge and knowing ourselves, but we're not talking about being selfish. We're not talking about doing all the above. And being extra, we're talking
mm-hmm.
about know
mm-hmm.
who you are, what you came for, you know, came here for,
yes.
you know, all those things, and honor the fact that you're in that position or take it seriously that you're in that position
yes.
to empower the people and to create that same sense of power, that sense of honor,
yes.
and that sense
yes.
a glow about yourself onto somebody else so that they can do it for themselves, you know, and be inspired. But most of them, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
raging.
Yeah, yeah.
Niggas out there don't
want to
do that. I'm so sorry. I'm saying it.
Now, come on. No, you know, you can't hold up with me. I told you, I feel the pain. You know what I be wanting to say?
You, man.
I don't feel you. Lord have mercy. You already see how I be, man. You see me, get off one night. I was only on a couple of shows, but I was going to hold it. No, I was, man, hold up.
I'm like, if you're going to quote these revolutionaries, you better know what the heck they've been through. You better know why they say what they say. Don't use air quotes. Like,
that's right.
It's just nothing but words. No, those are powerful words. Those are weapons.
You got to
those
be careful.
Things that,
yes.
So you shouldn't use your you shouldn't use who you are as an individual lightly, especially if you call yourself a revolutionary.
No.
I don't want to hear.
No.
Because.
No.
If you get on that revolutionary side of me, I didn't have some rent. Then you go hear me go off. Like, did she really say that? Yeah,
I made her mad in hell. Let me be careful.
They'd be like, what in the world? I'd be like, hey, man, this is what you get. You know, because I really care about the people and I we've already been misused, abused, beat up, killed, what the case may be people that, you know, gung-ho of destroying us. But then to, you know, have people that, you know, call themselves revolutionaries but do nothing for the people, don't empower the people in any way, really upset.
Yes.
It's like I was once one of the people, you know what I mean? I'm still one of the people. But I before I was knowledgeable about everything that I know now, you know, I was looking for and searching for, that's how I reached out to the Fred Hampton Gun Club.
But you were looking for something, man. You were lost. You were looking for something. You wanted something to give you that strong, powerful heart that you knew already existed in you. You brought out the little girl in you and performed and brought it out into the woman you become because you asked God for the guidance and direction, and God knew he gave it to you because he knew the sincerity of your heart, man. That's not a joke or play thing. You understand what I'm saying? That's not a joke or play thing. You know, a lot of people out there that are so-called in the revolution still lost in the sauce right today because they're not real. Come on, man.
And it's like, you know, my thing is that, you know, like I said, I don't want to see our revolutionary brothers and sisters like that I don't want to see them paint the people in any way because if they get a bad taste in their mouth, they're going to think that about all of us. So that's why another reason I'm on here, so that they understand that, hey, I'm not above y'all. I am the people at the same time, you know.
That's it.
But I just know a little bit more, but I don't I don't boast about it, and I don't, I know more than you. Bam. I don't do all of that. It's the fact that I can meet you at your level, you know what I mean? I can, you know. That's one thing I saw with, you know, studying, you know, revolutionaries in general, especially Fred Hampton. He met people at their level, and he talked to them.
Sure.
He had conversations, and he inspired by the things that he said, and he made it very plain and simple for the average person. Even though he was well-educated, he made it simple for the people to understand his concept of complete change. And also, you know, Huey P. Newton and other, you know, great revolutionaries, they made it to the average, you know, African descent person understands the importance of protecting themselves and of, you know, refusing to be at the bottom of the totem pole anymore when in reality, you know, we are very powerful as people and they don't want us to realize that. So.
Yes, man. They know it. But it's just, it burns. It's a burning sensation. You know how when you have your skin, you say your skin is burning or crawling and you just irritate, you just want to get it off you, whatever medicine is necessary. This is what it is with these people when they're concerned about the African-American culture because it's an enigma to them, a confusion in the mindset to realize, man, how am I justified for what my people have done to these people over the centuries and generations that this is going on, the centuries? You know what I'm saying? And then why am I so mad and upset at these people when they've done nothing to me other than the unique color of their skin pigmentation, which God deliberately gave them? I mean, this doesn't make us better than them, Mayotte, but by nature it does. You and I don't think we're better than, but by nature we are, because everything came from us. You can't be on the same equal level. You just can't say it like that out there because people would have a misunderstanding of it. But those consciousness of ourselves know this is what gives us the power and motivation to continue to learn and to get into the trenches of exposing our mindsets to the things that can make us better as a people. Does that make sense?
By saying.
You see? That's why he gave us that knowledge ourselves, man. Like I was telling you, the words and thing I've given people, them people, they wrote that down like redlining. That was the design and the custom of the white supremacist society, meaning that they drew a line, and if you lived on this side of the gate, you couldn't have access to jobs, education, welfare, housing, medical procedures, cars, education, so forth and so on, okay? That's what redlining was, and that's why in the ghetto communities, why we lived in the slums, that's why every time when you drive down the cities today, it's called redlining, because a lot of opulent buildings and scrapers and great monuments and wealth was not placed in that community because it brought that same properties down. You understand what I'm saying? So when they come through with gentrification, they start building up the black community now because they're suddenly pushing us out because they're coming over and watching what they're building in the communities now. You see what I'm getting at? That's what gentrification does. It improves the downtrodden community and blighted area and gives it a facelift, in a sense, for lack of a better word. You see what I'm getting at? So
yeah.
They, in turn, come over and protect their investments.
I say.
Bottom line. I say, you know. So, oh, wait, they get ready to cut me off here on it, but about 3 minutes. So, yeah, man, I just appreciate it. Just keep going. I mean, keep working with me, and don't let anybody try and tell you, you know, try to see it. A lot of people try to badmouth Michael Washington, but I think if I haven't shown myself to people, I don't know what it is. Just like the NAACP tried to get me arrested, tried to get me sent to jail, to prison, because
what?
I didn't save up a freedom sentence. Yeah, you didn't see that? I put it on the internet.
I remember seeing that, but I'm still like, what the heck?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the point was, Mayotte, I am a tree shaker, Mayotte. They cannot explain having allowing me, a nobody, essentially, coming out and doing something as the oldest civil rights group in America supposedly should have done to preserve the landmark of a black woman, Clara Luper, who established the longest sit-in movement in lunch counter in the whole United States. It's right here in Oklahoma, Mayotte. They were trying to erase our history, therefore, the Greensboro, South Carolina bunch was not the first or the longest sit-in. It was us, but we're not in the history books because these strongholders, these blacks in leaderships here in Oklahoma, and now that I've done it, I resurfaced. You see what I'm getting at? That's what the historians and all, everybody's mad at me for doing that, because now the law and the history and the facts have to come back to Oklahoma now. Looking for the 60-70 years that everybody was believing Greenboro, South Carolina was the longest, when in reality it wasn't. But because no one else had the history books, it was all a continual universal international cover-up.
I was saying.
You see what I'm saying now? I say. So now I've got $25 million for the east side, and it's going to be far greater than just a small building that people used to seeing. It's going to be now two stories, and it's going to be two blocks long because of now the money that's going to be generated each year. The white folks wanted to take it, but they said, oh, well, hell, we ain't going to be able to do that because Mike Washington ain't going to allow us to. So why don't y'all do something to try to blackball him, get him sent to prison and jail? Then we won't have to worry about him no more because he'll be out of our hair. As long as he's out here, we can't do what we want. You see, that was the whole purpose of it, man. But it didn't do him any good because now when you have a conspiracy, why would I want to work with a group of people who represents the very evil and wickedness that I'm fighting against every day? They don't mean us any good. They're sambos. They are the same as white folks put in power by the white folks to make sure that unity doesn't come together like J. Edgar Hoover did, preventing a black messiah from rising among our ranks. He used black folks like ourselves, like you just said, even with Fred Hampton. They used black faces to take us out. Malcolm X had a black face to kill him. You understand? See, this is what I'm trying to tell you. I say. So they've always used their own people to bring us down at the most important time when they should be lifting us up.
So
when they did that, I just lost all respect for him. I mean, I had to bring it out because the people needed to know that the person they thought was someone, a friend, a civil rights servant, they're really not. You know, so I just had to share that. But okay, this girl, before they lock us on out, you know, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. If you, like I said, if you need to shoot me a line every now and then or whatever, like I said, because I'm always working. I'm at the computer now. I'm going to do a little more typing tonight on some briefs. Like I said, I never stop. I'm like you. I mean, I even on a 70, I'll be waking up in my sleep. Oh, man, write this note down before you forget. Oh, you know, that's how God work on me. I'm telling you. So you, whenever you hear yourself saying those things, you have to get up and get to work because you're asleep. Sleep is nothing but for a person who has given up. Meaning, yes, we all need sleep, but if you have a thought to get up and write something down, you'll be able to go back to it. Because if you don't, then it was something that woke you up. Maybe that was your last breath you were getting ready to take. You look at it deeply, Mayotte. I'm not trying to be spook or scary, idiot. Idiot or nothing like this here. I'm not being an idiot. I'm trying to tell you, you have to look at further. I'm trying to tell you, let the Spirit lead you and guide you, man. Then you begin to open up and flourish.
It
look
got
at
me
all things.
Certain things like, yep, okay. Stay away from some of them individuals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got confident. I ain't got confident.
Yes.
Reason why my spirit was unsettled with certain things. It's like, okay, all right, reveal yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You have a beautiful soul. People are drawn to you, Mayotte. You are a great example of the young black lady, little girls who wants to be something. Don't think that you aren't. Because even though they have family members, girl, see that girl with the gun? I don't want you being like that. There are certain ones like that, Mayotte, but you have to realize you can't please everyone you run into, Mayotte. Please only the ones who are trying to do something and be guarded by your refinement, your direction, and your guidance, your movements. Don't worry about old men. I wish Johnny come on in because I'm not going to keep spinning my wheels on a dead horse when others are passing me by. You understand? That don't mean you ain't going to try to give it to them, but don't keep spinning your wheels. Once you give that knowledge, move on. Because if it attaches and it latches on, they're going to come and find you now. Believe me that.
Ashe.
They're going to come and find you. Knowledge, kingdom, and wisdom is not for everybody, Mayotte. Remember that.
Yes.
The world is much bigger than that. The world is not designed to be at peace. Even in your own group, you're going to have people fighting and hurting each other. Even if we had a black nation, look at the history of African kings and queens who fought each other in our Kivalent before the white folks got there. The point of the matter is that we run our own business and our concerns, though. This is the difference. You understand what I'm saying? Let's not think we're not going to have fights and all that there, but we don't want an outsider coming and killing us and taking our food or whatever. You see the difference? I can handle it a lot better if you got to fight me and took some from me than some damn white folk or somebody on the outside coming in and taking it and going back to their community building it up. See the difference? That's what I'm trying to tell you. You're going to always have fights. You and I may disagree with that point one of these times or whatever. Hell, that don't mean, to help that damn woman. Hell, I don't want damn my ass saying this shit to me no damn well. Get away from me. Oh, really? How do people grow? Damn it. I'm trying to tell you. Shit, if you want everything to be nice peaches and honey, you're in the wrong field.
I'm like, we're looking at hell and chaos and all the above. You know, this world is chaos. So, I mean, what can you expect from something that is only, that is produced out of nowhere? You
Hello?
Know what I mean?
Yes.
Just for
Hello?
The fun of it. On.
Yes. Yes. And that's why it's frustrating to somebody like ourselves, I tell you, I'm going to keep it real with you. On my right hand, I can count you one of the five people, like I just said here in Oklahoma. And I'm not just saying it because I don't like anybody or whatever. I'm telling you the truth because I see the mannerism, their practices and policies and procedures and things that they're doing, which gives me, like I say, I am an observer. I visualize, okay?
Awesome.
I envision. I see movements. I see people sitting down, eating, working, relating, okay, arguing, debating. And that is what I put down. And I say to that person, okay, well, this one needs to be to the right. This one needs to be to the left. This is as a possibility. This is not far enough. See what I'm getting at? You have to be, man. You just can't embrace and befriend everybody because they sound good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because because they're out there. I mean, why would I want to expose my hand? I got to sound good to you to get you in my corner, right?
Okay.
See, the devil's very sharp.
OMG, that he is. He's like, you know what? I see you, though. Okay,
yes.
So I'm going to ask things. I'm going to press certain issues, and I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch how you react. I'm
wow.
going to watch how you move. So, and I've always kind of been that person even before the revolution.
Yes.
Yes. I'm gonna watch how you move because your moves is not gonna lie to me. Your words,
no.
You tell me anything
no.
and say I support Pan Africanism, but if you don't implement any of the principles and you're not actually living it, well, why the hell are you claiming to be anything that you don't stand up for? Like, I don't want to hear it because I'm just saying you have to be an example. You have to show
Bam.
Me what you are actively practicing for it to be, okay, this person mean what they say.
Bam.
Even if I don't agree with your way of life,
yes.
I don't agree with that. So why do you do what you do? You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
Why
you can't, Matt, you can't force everybody to agree with you in the revolution. Not, I tell you what, you get me one revolutionary, and I'm a man of my word. I'll put it on Facebook. You get me one revolutionary, one cause where somebody among them ranks didn't agree with something, and I'll eat their head. I'll jump off a 10-story building for you. There's always arguments, even with your tight ranks. You got to. That's how growth comes, you mayat. But you amend your ways, you sacrifice for the cause, though. You understand what I'm getting at? You stay together for the cause, though. But the bickering and fighting is not out in the open. To cause people doubting you. You fight in your closed rooms. You understand?
I say.
People don't supposed to see that side of you. All they know that everything is hunky-dory and harmony and peace and tranquility. But in the offset, once they grow gradually, then you say, okay, now, John, I'm going to invite you to the back room and let you see what we really do. This is a VIP section only, though. You can't get back in unless we especially pick you, handpick you. You see what I'm saying?
Does that make sense?
It does. So, yeah. I mean, man, you have a long road to go. You're young yet. You haven't been exposed to a lot of stuff yet. But when you do, you're preparing yourself to be able to accept or reject at the right and proper time when it exposes itself to you. You see? That's what a revolutionary is. Huh? Look up that word, revolution. It just simply means a change of ideas, a person that's not set with the status quo. That's all that means. But now, when you look at the synonym, re, that means to do over again, my yacht. Re, synonym, do over. Redo, revision, rework, rewalk, rewrite. So that means something ain't right just yet. So therefore, I'm going to redo it to make it better. The revolution. You see? The volition of change. Change your world, your world will change around you. And with that, young lady, I know you. I know you've been pretty busy. I bored you long enough. So, but I just want you to. Yeah, no, I wanted you to go ahead and, like I said, and because you know, you got other things to do. You probably need to eat you some supper. I need to eat me something. I haven't eaten a little lunch.
I got to contact my people.
Okay.
Right after.
Okay, Ashe.
So.
Okay,
you
know. Ashe. So, look, again, be blessed, and thank you for your time, your patience, and your work in the community. And hopefully, like I said, before long, we can get this thing together and section off our people to get our own government started, our own independence, self-determination, motivation, self-realization. If we get that out, then I think we're going to be all right.
Ashe.
You know, and they're going to be captured. Oh, yeah.
We're going to be all right. And I can't say the same for the ones that are not willing to fight or not willing to stand up for their own rights and for their people.
Wow.
So I can only speak for the ones that are willing to do the work and willing to stand up no matter what. And that's where the drawing line is going to be for people. So.
Man, do you know how scary that is, what you just said? Those who don't want advancement, those who don't want refinement, those who don't want elevation. Man, did you just hear what you just said? Do you know how frightening that is?
I say it definitely is, because it may be somebody we know. It may be somebody we know that, you know, will.
Yes.
That will.
And it
that
hurts
will
your heart.
Be like, I don't even care nothing about that. I'm just living life, you know, situation. So, and I deal with that, like, you know, with myself and knowing that even
yes.
the close people around me, you know, my family members, you know, some of them be like, I don't understand why you. And I'm like, you know what? When you want to understand and when you want to get more information, you want to know, you know, y'all see what I post on Facebook. Y'all see how it is. That's stuff
yes.
in my head. You know,
yes.
if you are willing to push past where you at right now, I don't know what to tell you. You're going to get,
yes.
it's either you pick their side or you pick this side. You don't
yes.
really have an option.
Yes.
You don't have no more options no more. You know what I mean?
Ooh, you laid it open then,
so,
boy. You opened up a can of green beans and we finna eat.
Okay.
With that statement. You know, oh, man. Wow, man. Ooh, man, let me let you get to it. I know you got to contact your people. Like I said, Ashe, we'll be hearing some on Facebook. You'll see some. We'll post some or whatever. You know, it's not over quite yet, but I just need you to go and do what you need to do to get things done, and I'm going to do what I need to do, and then we'll kick it over open the third. All right? Ashe. Black Power, Revolution. All right, now, take it easy. Bye-bye. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.